Congratulations, everyone. You have finished your first week of classes in college. Some of you, this is your first week. If this is your first week of college, raise your hand. You've made it. Congratulations. Yes. So, how you doing? I mean, how you really doing? Some of you are probably really excited. All summer long, you've been building this up. You're finally here. But has anyone been overwhelmed at all this week? Like, you just want to go back to your cottage or your dorm room and hug your Hufflepuff. You just want to, like, cling to it. Anyone feel that way? Just totally. Of course you do. I mean, let's just think about what happened for some of you. Some of you, you know, packed up your Hufflepuff and you put it in a bag and you drove like across the country. Some of you flew across the world and came to a little town called Holland. Not the country. Not the Netherlands, the big city Holland, like this little place called Holland. You don't know anyone. You've left your family, your family systems, your church, your coaches, your teachers, the streets where you know tacitly where to go. You've left a sense of place, a sense of identity, and you land in a place where everything's new and you don't know anyone. And then the hardest part is we want you to be really excited about it. Like, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world, and like, I'm fine. Right? It's okay if you're not. In fact, it's actually perfectly normal and healthy if this week you have had moments where you have felt overwhelmed, because what you have just done is a big deal. To be here is a really big deal. In fact, you got a cell phone? Take out your cell phone right now. Take it out. You got it. It's all right. It's church. You can have your cell phone. It's fine. Don't be taking calls in the middle of my sermon. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to text your mom. I want you to text your dad. If it's not your mom or your dad, text your opa or your opa, oma. If it's not your oma and opa, I want you to text an uncle or an aunt. If it's not, I want you to text like your best friend. What you're not allowed to do is text the boyfriend you met last night. Okay, that's not allowed, because if you did that, you broke the October rule already. And you're not allowed to do that. All right? I want you to text them that says, hey, I love you. I miss you, but I'm okay. And just text somebody like that. And if you need to, you can tell them the preacher told them to, but just text your mom. Tell her you love her. I'm going to do it right now. It's okay. It's okay to feel a little disoriented right now. It's a disorienting time. But here's what I want to say to you. I'm really, really grateful that you're here. Not just here at Hope College. I'm grateful that you're here tonight in this place. Just take a second and just look around. This beautiful chapel. Dimnitt Chapel, named after our fifth president, Edward Daniel Dimnitt. It was his crowning achievement. He was president from 1918 to 1931. At the time this chapel was built, there was 200 students, maybe 210, and he built it like five times the size of the student body, because he really believed one day, this chapel would be filled with worshipers. This chapel is one of my favorite places, and I hope it will be one of your favorite places while you're here. I hope this chapel might have a sense of home for you. You're going to gather in this place in various times over the next 4 years. Some of you might even be married in this space. Come on now. Yeah, brother's passing out. Like, oh, yeah, I got a number last night. I'm going to be there. significant things have happened in this place. I love the stained glass windows. There are saints. There are the 12 patriarchs, the 12 apostles, and the great cloud of witness windows. From my vantage point, you can see this beautiful rose window in the back. It's so gorgeous. I love it. Sometimes when I'm up here and it's like going really badly, it's just like an iron dove that like clanks on the floor. Like I know the sermon's going bad. If you ever see me space off, I'm just looking at the window. Because at least that's beautiful. One of my favorite parts of this chapel is the door handles. If you ever notice that when you walk inside Dimnit Chapel, we have these really heavy doors, and there are these brass handles, and on the right handle, they're really smooth and shiny. It's one of my favorite things about this chapel. Why? Because those handles are smooth and shiny from generations of students like yourselves. Edward Daniel Dimnit pulled that handle. Every class since 1930 that has enrolled at Hope College has grabbed that handle. And anytime I grab that handle, I feel like I'm connected to something larger. A people of hope. I love those shiny handles. When you leave tonight, take a look at them, or the next time you come to chapel, look at those handles. Why are they shiny, though? They're shiny because a lot of people have pulled them, but why did they pull them? Why did they come inside this space? To sing, to meet people, to have relationship, all of that, yeah. But is it something deeper? Did they not pull the handle to come inside this space because maybe they were hoping for something? Or maybe someone? That maybe, just maybe, in this place called a chapel, I might encounter God. Maybe, just maybe, generation after generation has grabbed that handle to come inside this space because they were hoping that maybe there is a God, and maybe this God has something to say to me. Something that might be true in the really true sense. Something that might put my feet on a different path. Something that might heal this deep ache and sickness that I have in me. Maybe people have grabbed that. Whoa, I got some Jesus juice on me. Sorry about that. Maybe people have grabbed that handle because they have come in here hoping not to know more about God, but to encounter God. And in encountering God, be made more. That maybe this God has something to say to you in the history of your real life that is good. Good news for your life. I love those door handles because I believe that just like you did tonight, you grab those handles with the expectation that maybe there is a God, and that God has something to say, and what that God has to say is good. Good news. That's why it's smooth and shiny. And I'm here to tell you there is a God who has something to say to you, and what that God has to say is good. Good news, gospel, the good news that was promised beforehand through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures, the good news concerning the Son who was descended from David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. This Jesus is alive. He's not a myth, he's not a metaphor, he's not a principle. He can't be reduced to something that we can commodify and manage in our own self-help programs. This Jesus is the inaugurated, resurrected King of all things, and this Jesus is still pouring out a Spirit upon us right now. That Jesus has something decisive to say. He is God's good news to the world. Good news is our theme this year at the gathering. We want to be a people of good news. Gospel. This year we're going to be walking through the Gospel of Matthew. There are four Gospels. At the beginning of the New Testament, there's an Old Testament filled with books from the histories and the prophets and the poetry. And then there's this New Testament, and the New Testament begins with four stories of Jesus. Matthew, which is the first, Mark, Luke, and John. Once every 4 years, we like to systematically just work through the Gospels so that while you're at Hope, during one of your 4 years, we will have worked through one of the decisive stories of Jesus, which are called Gospels, good news. Now, the word gospel, good news, actually isn't really a Christian word. It doesn't have its origin in the canon. It wasn't a religious word. It was more of a political word. Gospel, good news. The Greek word combines two words, angelon, which means to announce news, and euangelon, which means eu is the prefix for with joy. To announce news with joy, that's what it means. And it was used usually in the context of the birth of a king, or a great military victory, or the ascension to a throne, something that was historic news for all people at all times that would inaugurate joy. To have gospel was a political term of a historical activity, which gives us a clue, right? That when Matthew writes a gospel, it's not just about a subjective feeling. It's an announcement of a historical event that brings joy. A gospel is a historical event, an announcement of news that brings joy. Joy. That's what we heard from James. This good news that we come into here has everything to do with this person we call Jesus, a real historical figure who walked the earth. But Christians believe that this individual was more than just a human individual who walked the earth. He was actually also the living God. The Gospel of John describes him this way. He was the Word made flesh, and through him we have seen his glory. Glory. Good news. James read in Matthew 4, Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogue and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing all who were sick. What we're after this year is to explore the consequences of what Jesus was teaching throughout Galilee. We want to explore the height and depth and width of this good news. Jesus went throughout Galilee and he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. We will explore what this kingdom is all about, but throughout Matthew, the kingdom does at least three things. The kingdom that Jesus is referring to is always encountering and opposing evil. The kingdom that Jesus is preaching about is always restoring the reign of God. The kingdom that Jesus is concerned about is about inaugurating a new family. This kingdom gives us a new identity. This kingdom gives us a new belonging. This kingdom gives us a new purpose for our life. This year we want to explore the good news of that kingdom. And I have three prayers as we do that. I pray that we would hear this good news. I pray that we would know this good news. And I pray that we would live this good news. Jesus went throughout Galilee and he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the very word of God. There is a correlation between our faith and what we hear, what we listen to. At the very beginning of the canon in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered over the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, God spoke, and something new was created. Anytime we listen to the word, it has the power to create a new reality in us. One of the greatest dangers is that we will be a people who don't listen. We don't hear because we never speak about God. There's a sociologist I like a lot named Craig Gay. He wrote a little book called The Way of the Modern World, and he wrote this. He said, the greatest temptation to worldliness today comes in the form of the suggestion that it's normal, indeed expedient, to go about your daily life without giving any thought to God at all. The greatest threat to worldliness today isn't the secular academy. It's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's not your Xbox or your Wii, though it might be. The greatest threat is actually going about your life, going about your day, going about class, going back to your dorm, going hanging with your friends, and there's no thought to God at all. That's the greatest threat, that we've created a world where we no longer talk about God. One of the promises we're going to make to you is that in this place, which I hope becomes a home, is that we will talk about God. We will talk about a God who has something to say to you. And what God has to say is good news. That's our promise. This will be a place where we talk about God, who God is. We want you to hear the good news. We want you to know the good news. Now, you're here at college to get knowledge, right? I mean, you're paying a lot of money to be here. You are giving a lot of your sacrifice of time and your talents to be here to get knowledge. But the kind of knowledge that we're after, you're after, the kind of knowledge that we're talking about in here, in this place, isn't just head knowledge. We don't want you to come in here and just learn more facts and information about the Bible and about what people have said about God. What we want, our prayer is that you will come to know God. Know God. Meaning that you will have a personal transformative experience with the living God. A God who will set you free. We want you to know that sense in the biblical sense of knowing. The biblical sense of knowing has more to do with sexual intimacy. It has more to do with being naked and vulnerable, where you know the other person fully as a human being. That's the kind of knowledge we want to have with God. It says in the scriptures that Jesus went throughout proclaiming the good news and curing people of every disease. And so his fame spread throughout Syria, and people brought to him all the sick, all the people who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, the demoniacs, paralytics, epileptics, and he cured them. He cured them. That's the kind of knowledge we want you to have, where God cures you. And there's lots of different things in life to be cured from other than just physical ailments. There's cures of the heart and of the soul and of the mind. God calls us to be his people. And when God encounters us, more often than not, we are healed. There's a line I like a lot from Tolkien that says in The Lord of the Rings, he says, the hands of the king are healing hands. Thus shall the rightful king be known. Jesus comes and offers us his healing hands so that we might be healed. What do you need to be healed from? For some of you, right now, it might just be homesickness. Allow Jesus to come in and be with you to heal that sickness so that you might find a new home here among God's people here. We want you to know the good news. We want you to hear the good news. And finally, and most importantly, we want you to live the good news, to live it, The Christian life was not meant to be a head trip. It was meant to be activated into every finger and toe, every breath, every thought that we held captive. We want to live out the consequence and beauty of this good news that is for all people, at all times, everywhere. We want to be a people who leave Dinant Chapel and go back to the places where we live, to the classroom, to the study carrel, to the athletic field, that we would live out our good news, our life with God before others. We want to live this. It says that when Jesus cured them, great numbers of people followed after him. They followed him in Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and beyond the Jordan. They followed him. They lived this out. We want to be a people who hear the good news. We want a people who know the good news. And we want to be a people who live the good news so that other people might experience that there is a different kind of way to live. There's a different kind of hope. And my friends, if the world needs anything from the church right now, it needs a young generation to rise up with a different kind of an imagination, the imagination of the kingdom, reigned by the King, that can show us that there's a different way than all the power games and the political pundits and the Snapchatting and all of the stuff that captures our imaginations and sucks us down into the drain. We need to be a different kind of people. And the way we do that, it begins with hearing the good news, knowing it deep in our hearts and our minds, and then living it out. But that means that we need to be open. We need to be open to being encountered by this God, not just in this space, in every square inch of our lives. We need the possibility that something new can happen. There's somebody here tonight, maybe this is the first time you've been in a worship service, and this is a strange new world, which I totally get. And I'm so glad you're here, because I think you're here for a reason. Maybe you're listening to this and like, I want something new, but I've done something in the past. I can't let it go. The guilt, it clings to me, and I can't see a new way. The good news of the kingdom is that there is a new way, that there is nothing in heaven and on earth that can ever separate you from the love of God, but you have to be open in your heart, like deep in your heart, not just here, deep in your very being, that there is a possibility that of a real God who really wants to speak good news to you right now. There's a scripture I love that says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The good news invites us to something new, and that's freedom. This summer, my wife, Kristen, flew to Boston with our two kids, Trigvi, who's 7, and Ella, who is 4. I had to stay behind for some work, and I was speaking over the weekend, so I didn't go with them to Boston. Now, my kids love to travel, particularly to fly. Love it. I'm using the word love. They love to fly because Kristen and I are pretty strict about screen time. My son, for example, who's 7, loves to play on the iPad and play Minecraft. Anyone know this game, Minecraft? My son's like addicted to this thing, loves it. He's created all of these different worlds, super complex. I have no idea what he's doing, but he loves this. Well, the reason why my kids love to travel is because when we get on a plane, all of our strict parenting screen time is out the window. You on a plane can watch as much screen time as you want, as long as you don't cry. So our kids, they look for days. They're like, when are we going to the airport? Because they know as soon as we get there, boop, they are on their screen. They love it. Now, Kristen is taking the kids to Boston, and I'm going to be the good dad. I know they're going to want to watch some shows, and so I've got an iPod. I've got like first generation iPad. It's kind of slow now. It's got a couple cracks in it. Vintage. I like to call it vintage. So I wanted to download some new shows for Trigvi to watch on the plane. And so I got the new show of Miles, Tomorrowland. Last season is now available on iTunes. And then I got Rescue Bots. The next season of Rescue Bots is ready. He's going to be so excited. I'm going to be the best dad in the world. And I went to click and to download the whole series of these shows. And boop, you don't have enough storage. Oh, well, that's an easy fix. I can just delete some of these other apps and create some more space. So that's what I did. I was very meticulous, and so I thought deleting a number of different apps that would allow us to download these shows, and that's what happened. I deleted enough, and we were able to download Rescue Bots. We were able to download Miles Tomorrowland. My family took off for the airport. I got a call from Kristen. They landed. Hey, it was a great success. They got to their cousin's house, and then I got a call later in the evening from Kristen saying, hey, Trig's on the iPad. He wants to show his cousin Tyler his Minecraft worlds. We can't find the Minecraft worlds. Well, love, yeah, see, this is what happened, I think, maybe. Double check to see if those apps are actually on there. It might have been, you might just not have seen it. It's possible that I might have deleted it last night. It was a long pause. It's usually the long pause you get right before the lawyer comes on the phone. Okay, she said. We talked a little bit more, and she hung up. I'm like, oh, bad dad. I just deleted Trigvi's Minecraft, and with that, all of the worlds that he had created all summer long. He was so excited to show his cousin. My son is small, but has a very large intensity, and this had all of the possibility to erupt into an enormous cosmic meltdown in front of our family. You'll get this later on. That's bad. Well, the next day, I call Kristen. And I said, hey, were you able to find the Minecraft? And she said, no, we weren't able to find it. I said, well, how did Trigvi respond? She said, you know what? He was amazing. He said, it's all right, Mom. Sometimes it's okay to start over and to make a new world. If anyone is in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. Sometimes it's okay to start over and to make a new world. I want to invite you to make a new world here at Hope, a world filled with good news, a world where you belong, body and soul. A world where you have an identity with your Creator, who is Jesus. A world where your particular talents and gifts will find an expression. Sometimes it's okay to start over and to build a new world. And my friends, that is good news. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for that good news. Thank you that we are a people who you have called to be a people of hope in this place. And if anyone's feeling disoriented or even overwhelmed, God, we ask that you would be with them and attend to them as we continue to worship together. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.